Now, I am delighted to be joined by Limerick hurler Grode Hegarty. Grode, it is June and there are only six teams left in the hurling championship. How does that sit with you?
It sits well with me, yeah, Marie. Look, it'll be interesting to see how the games go this weekend. I suppose we have the luxury of sitting back and watching the four teams, I suppose, take each other on and see who comes out on the other side. But it's lovely to be heading, but looking forward to Croke Park again in a couple of weeks' time. You know, obviously there's a 4-week break between the Munster final and the semi-final, so gives us a chance to get back into training and train hard for, you know, kind of 3 weeks and then prepare for the game in that way. So yeah, it is great. Look, it's always a pleasure when you're heading back to Croke Park. So we're looking forward to it.
So essentially, all going to plan. You've only got two games left.
Yeah, everything's on the plan so far. You know, when you sit down at the start of the year and you set out what you want to do, I always believe that the best route to go is the shortest route, you know, and that's by winning the Munster final, you go straight to the semi-final. I genuinely think that's the best way to go. So, all's going to plan so far.
So, what are you going to do for the summer then? It's going to be a little bit different.
It is. Well, I was playing a few holes now this morning, so there'll be a lot of golf played hopefully over the next 2 or 3 weeks, and training hard as well at the same time, you know, with Limerick. But it's lovely, you know. It's a nice chance for the next couple of weeks, not just having a 4-week break in terms of being able to train hard, but it also gives you a lot of downtime as well that you can, you know, relax and enjoy other hobbies. So we're not complaining.
Were you watching the Limerick footballers, your former team, last weekend?
I was. You know, I haven't been talking to any lads now, but I'm sure they'll be quite disappointed to lose in the manner that they did, because they were, you know, they actually played some great stuff. But when the pain of the defeat does go away in the next week or two, or whenever they sit down again, maybe to prepare for next season, like, they look back on the season, it's been an unbelievable season from to get into Division 2 and to get to the Munster final. I know that the Munster final obviously didn't go well for them, but, you know, they have had a great season, and if you gave them that at the start of the year, they would have taken it. So, as I said, I'm sure they're probably still not over the last of the weekend, but they did have a great season, in fairness to them.
Yeah, and you can tell by just looking at the quarterfinals that Division 2 is a good place to be as well, like 4-4 now left in it, and some cracking games to come. And even just seeing Clare, as you know, I'm from there, and a neighbouring county, someone no doubt that you'd have encountered in over the years many times there as well. It's great to see that strong Munster representation.
Yeah, it's brilliant. You know, like, Munster football gets a lot of flack, and I suppose, you know, a lot of it is right. You know, Kerry, in fairness, have had a fairly easy passage over the last number of years in order to win the 2020 championship with the Cork beating them below on Parky Creeve. But it's actually very competitive just underneath that level, you know. So it is great to see. Look, Clare and Cork, they will earn it. You know, they'll be up against it the next day, especially Cork. But you know, what a chance for Clare footballers to maybe get to an All-Ireland semi-final. You know, like, I'm sure they would have just wanted to avoid it playing Kerry or Dublin. And, you know, they're going back to Croke Park, second out in Croke Park for them. So, it's, you know, it's great to see. You know, Clare Derry in an All-Ireland quarter-final, what a novel pairing. You know, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, and deservedly so as well. They deserve to be there very much. When you look at the All-Ireland football final, or you're picturing it, who do you think will be the last two teams standing?
Good question. I think it'll be Dublin and I think it could be Dublin and Derry, you know. I have a weird feeling about Derry. I think Derry are very interesting because they would have set out at the start of the year, and obviously their goal would have been to win the Ulster Championship. Now that they've won it, I think it puts them in a very interesting position, you know, to see, can they go again? You know, they've achieved their goal. I'm sure that was their goal. So it'll just be interesting to see where their mindset is, you know, in the next game or two. So, but I think Dublin are the strong favourites, in my opinion. But very interesting to see who comes out of the other side. I think Derry probably are just tipped from just the favourites, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Galway are going to be there. Shane Walsh in Croke Park, if he's fully fit and on fire on that pitch, I'd say he could do absolute wreck. But anyway, we will find out in a few weeks' time. So you're teaching, you play golf, you watch Gaelic football by the sounds of it. What else do you do in your off time?
Well, I suppose you didn't mention all the training that we do with the hurling side.
So that's a hobby, Grode.
Yeah, we haven't talked much hurling, but no, look, hurling is, hurling is the dominant aspect of my life, without a doubt. You know, everything kind of revolves around the hurling. You know, I unfortunately don't get to play as much golf as I would like. As I said, I'll try to get in a good bit now over the next maybe 2 weeks or so. But you know, we'll be training, like, we're going to be training very hard now for the next 3 weeks. And as I said, everything will be revolving around that. But to be honest, I during the summers, I'm kept busy. I've loads to do. Like, you know, I was correcting exams, just class exams there up until last week. And I'll relax and chill out, and I'll go to the beach with my girlfriend and my two dogs, and, you know, just take it easy for the next couple of weeks and just recover from training. And as I said, try to get a few games of golf in, and just keep happy. You know, that's the way I stay happy. It's nothing too hectic.
Is it hard being such a recognisable figure? Because whether you like it or not, and it is an asset being the size that you are, but you're very hard to miss when you're around the place.
It can be a positive or a negative, whatever way you want to look at it. I always feel like, you know, this where we are at the moment isn't going to last forever. You know, as you said to me off air before we started recording, like, I'm 28 in August, and the life of an intercounty player nowadays doesn't go too far past 30. You know, so it's not going to be like this forever, I suppose. So, you know, people only want to come up to you and wish you well and stuff like that. And as I'm a massive sports fan, and I love following Liverpool, so. Like, if I saw a Liverpool player in the street, I'd be going up to them as well, you know. So you've got to be realistic about it as well. So, look, it's just, I suppose we're in a privileged position to be, that we are in the moment with Limerick over the last few years. We've been very successful. You know, I haven't been playing with Limerick before we were successful, and there wasn't too many people coming up to then. So, you know, if there's a reason why they're coming up as well. So you just got to look at it in a positive way, you know.
My husband remembers you when you were playing Gaelic football for Limerick, and he says you weren't the size that you are now anyway, that you obviously filled out a lot. What, I know you say you work hard, everybody says they work hard, but like, how did you develop physically? So like, what kind of work did you have to do to get there?
I always think this is a funny question, because I'm asked it a lot, and it's like, it's a boring answer, but it just takes time. Like, when I was playing football, whenever your husband did see me play football, I was only 19 and 20 playing with Limerick. And, you know, I had very little strength and conditioning done before I came into the Limerick Senior Hurling, or the Limerick football panel at the time, around 2014, 15. And, like, it literally just takes years of graft and dedication to the strength and conditioning side of the game. And as I said, it is the boring answer. There's absolutely no secret to it. It just takes time. And I always, like, my brother at the moment, he was on the 20s panel last year and this year. He was unfortunately injured this year, so he didn't get any game time. But I always say to him, like, it just takes a long time, and it just takes a lot of dedication, you know, of going to the gym. And, you know, there's some good days and there's some bad days where you feel like you're making progress and you're mad to go to the gym. There's other days where you feel like you're just completely flatlined and there's nothing happening. But it is the boring answer, as I said, but it just takes years. It just takes several years to get to the level of where we're at the moment. So, that's it, really. I know that there's no secret. Like, there is no secret, honestly.
The skills you have as well, Grode, and I think, look, they're evident all the time, but that goal in the Munster final against Clare was pretty spectacular. You know, you're spending all this time in the gym, but you're obviously working on the skills of the game as well.
I am, and look, the hurling side of things is a little bit different, because I am a firm believer that, you know, you got hurling is a small bit different to football. I found it a little bit easier with the football, say, in the off season when you go back playing football, you can kind of pick it up quick enough. But I found with hurling that you need to have the hurling in your hand a lot. Like, I always say to any young lads that I meet around Limerick, I always say to them, the best thing that you could do is just bring the hurling with you everywhere. When I was a young fella, and even to this day, as I said earlier on, when I go to the beach with my two dogs and my girlfriend, I bring my hurley with me, and I just puck a ball along the beach for one of the dogs. He's great to bring it out and back. But like, when I was going to the shop as a young fella, hanging around with the lads during the summertime, or, you know, my hurley's always in my boot, even when I'm driving around nowadays, and I just bring it everywhere with me, and I just be messing around, and, you know, all those little flicks and tricks that I do that come off sometimes in games, they're all just from messing around on the street and pucking around with the lads when I was a young fella. And that's where it comes from, you know. It's just
practice.
As I said, I just used to bring the hurley with me everywhere, and I still do to this day, and I hope I'm able to do that for a lot longer.
Yeah, it's a good habit to have. So just one other thing then on the your physique. So, like, you get a bit of slack, rightly or wrongly, about stuff that happens on the field, and there's been a bit of a narrative around you that, you know, perhaps you're targeted sometimes, you get a few cards here and there. What's your thoughts on it?
Um what is my thought? And it's a good question. To be honest, like, I think that, you know, earlier on in the year, definitely, I know the Galway League game, obviously, I was sent off in the Galway League game, and I was rightly sent off. You know, what I did that day deserved to send it off. I think, definitely, obviously, the Cusick, obviously, you're asking about the Cusick Park, the league game, or not the league game, but the Munster game against them blowing Ennis. Like, you know, that was a silly sending off. I don't think I deserved to be sent off that day. But look, that's the way it goes. You know, you just got to go out in the field and you've got to trust that just as much as you trusted your teammates are going to do their job, you've got to trust that the referee is going to do their job. I honestly don't spend too much time worrying about it. You know, you just got to go out and get on with it and as I said, trust that other people will do their job. That's what they're there for and hope that they'll carry it out with as best as they can. You know, I was very frustrated, obviously, after getting sent off in Cusick Park below a couple of weeks ago. And sure, I going back to the similar question you asked me a while ago, the amount of people that were coming up to me in the 3-week lead into the Munster final and telling me this and telling me that, and you know, it was a tough lead in, to be honest, for me, because I was getting asked so many questions about it, and you know, it was an unfortunate thing to happen. But look, as I said, you just got to forget about it. I half an hour after the game, I had forgotten about it, and I was moving on. I was already looking forward to the Munster final. So, as I said, it's an uncontrollable thing. It's the referee's decision to see what they do out in the field. As I said, I actually don't get too frustrated, you know, in terms of how they see calls and stuff like that, you know, because as I said, you can't control it. You just got to let them do their job. So, but yeah, look, I think referees have a seriously hard job, in my opinion. Like, the speed of the game the last day, like, how...
Yeah.
I can't remember, I think it was John Keenan maybe that was reffing the game last day. I thought he did an unreal job. I know there was a bit of analysis after the game with certain aspects that went on the field, but I just think if you overanalyze, if you pour back through the footage of every hurling game and you look for incidents going on off the ball, you'll have 20 people getting banned. You know, I think hurling is such a fast game. It's a hard enough game to ref as it is. You know, so I thought he did a great job last day, to be honest with you, and it must have been.
So what you're saying to me is that you have sympathy for Rory Hayes and Peter Duggan and the retrospective punishment. Is it, Grod?
I do, Marie, to be honest with you, because, like, look, what they did was stupid and it should have been probably pulled up and in the game, but I'm not a fan of, as I say, going back, pouring over footage, looking for incidents, because you'll have counties that won't be able to field the team, because there's so much that goes on off the ball, whether it be right or wrong, whether people are acting out or not. But, you know, I think if it's, I don't know, I haven't thought too much about it, obviously, because it hasn't impacted us, but I don't think I'm a fan of this retrospective action. Like, if it's not dealt with on the day, you know, I don't see too much benefit of going back and banning people after the game. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not too sure. I haven't thought too much about it, but I don't think I'm a fan of it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's something that's dividing opinion. And like, you know, you're talking about yourself and the incidents that you're involved in and how things move on. And this week, this is the big focus. So it'll be interesting to see how it does play out for Rory Hayes and Peter Duggan. So I saw on your social media that you have recently joined the Exam Craft group. Can you tell us how that came about?
Yeah, so look, Exam Craft, anyone in the educational sector, you know, they kind of be familiar with the company as they provide the pre-papers or the math papers, as some people call them, for the junior cert and the leaving cert. But I suppose I met Dan Sheedy there a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking to me about how they're after expanding massively there in the last number of years, and they're now providing secondary and primary schools with things like study skill workshops and well-being and youthful leadership workshops and things like that. So I suppose it was something that I was very interested in, because obviously people forget that we do have to go to work, you know, on a Monday to Friday. But as I said, I met Dan, and you know, he's one of the main guys in Exam Craft, and I was talking to Philip O'Callaghan, who was the MD, on the phone, and I was just discussing with him about maybe, you know, joining their team and seeing could I help. They were looking for me, and I was seeing could I help them in any way, you know, as well. And I suppose we agreed upon me joining the team. And, you know, as I said, it's something that I was very interested in, because my day job is the teaching. And I suppose it gets me stepping outside the comfort zone as well at the classroom. You know, I've been teaching now for the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, it's just an additional little bit of work for me to do. And as I said, it'll keep me busy over the summertime as well, you know.
So what other projects are you going to be involved in with Exam Craft?
So they... as I said, their main line of work was the pre-papers, but they also have a lot of revision books and things like that that they release, and that'll be something that I'll be working with them. Business and maths are my two subjects, so I'll be working with them in terms of them aspects as well. But I'm teaching in Desmond College in Newcastle West, and we're actually an iPad school. And as I was talking to Dan, he was talking about a new formative assessment tool that they're bringing out that'll be huge help to teachers and students. Like as I said, we have iPads in our school. I have one myself, and I'd be lost without it. It's the only thing I ensure that's in my bag every day as I'm going to school. So they're bringing out a new system that where it as I said, it's a formative assessment tool that's going to be brought out, and it could be very, very useful for students and teachers. But there's a big emphasis in the education sector nowadays. For anyone that isn't in the education sector, it's probably like double dutch speaking to them, but they're moving from summative assessment, which are your end of year exams, your leaving cert, your junior cert, into a more formative assessment tool that's all about feedback. And, you know, maybe there is talks, I'm not sure whether it's going to go ahead, where they're talking about like not having 100% exams for junior cert and leaving cert, maybe having a little bit of an exam at maybe the end of second year and the exam at the end of fifth year to take a little bit of pressure off those state exams. So they're after bringing out a new website called the Super Generation Project. So it's a program designed to help students, again, not just in terms of their learning, but also motivation and leadership. I think it's been directed towards TY. So that's another thing that we're going to be working on over the summer that'll hopefully be something that we'll be able to launch at schools in the near future.
I don't know, where are you going to find the time for all this growth with all the golf and the hurling and the Gaelic football and whatever else you're doing? That is quite interesting about the iPad school. So do you still do writing, or is everything done on iPad?
No, we still do our writing, obviously, because, you know, when they get to junior cert and even cert, obviously all their exams are going to be written, but... Like, you know, the technology nowadays, I constantly say it, like, technology nowadays is just incredible. You know, all the different little apps that you can use on your iPad, and, you know, like, we're a Google school, so we have Google Classroom, and over lockdown, like, when they were at home, you're able to communicate with the students, you know, with messages, and you can also, you know, hold live classes through Google Classroom and things like that, similar to Zoom, to be honest with you, and... you know, being able to communicate them when they all have their iPads and they're sitting at home, and it's incredible. Technology nowadays is amazing. So that's something that ExamCraft are looking at, you know, utilising.
Do you use any technology as part of your training?
We'd have video analysis and things like that. We've a guy, he's actually a teacher as well, Sean O'Donnell is his name. He's a whiz kid with technology, so he does a bit of video analysis just from now and again in the lead into games. And yeah, oh, without a doubt, we use a lot of technology. We don't see a whole lot of it. I'm sure Shawnee is faced with a lot more technology than we do, but he, I suppose, shows us the information that we need to see. But yeah, well, we do. We use technology, yeah, definitely.
Very good. Well, Grod, I will let you go. Thanks a million for joining us. Really fascinating chat, and delighted to hear as well that you got the old Midsummer Championship haircut done this morning.
Yeah, priorities.
Not that we'd be able to see it with the helmet on, but your luck. Grod, thanks a million, and your best of luck for the next two games, and if you get there, and we'll talk to you soon.